Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of October, and I'm recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's still British summer time. Okay, what happened here today? Another all-action day, as you may well be aware. And I think I'll focus first and mainly on Wall Street because it's such an important influence overall. And we've had the fourth day of a brisk rally in here, and here's kind of the end result of it in terms of how these indices have done, having fallen fairly sharply from their highs. Remember, the S&P 500, excuse me, got close to a 10% correction, but not quite before the rally started. So where are they now in terms of that recovery? Well, the S&P has regained two-thirds of its decline from its high. Same for the NASDAQ 100 index. A little less strong by the NASDAQ Composite Index. The Transports Index has done best of all. That's regained three-quarters of its decline in the last 4 days. And the Russell 2000, which gave the warning signal to the downside to begin with and has been in a range all year, did worst, but it has regained almost a third of the decline from its high. So what do we make of it all? Well, it's been a pretty explosive rally in here, so I think that putting together some of the factors here, we can assume that some short positions were added to the market over the two previous weeks. And so there's been some brisk short covering for sure. But also, I just happened to catch, while I was having a quick bite of lunch, that that hedge fund manager Einhorn, he was in the US. He was saying that he'd welcome the setback because it enabled him to buy some shares at levels that he was really interested in. And so what that said to me, and not surprisingly, is that there were quite a number of investors who were way underinvested. In other words, they came out too early as the U.S. stock market commenced that long rise that started sort of in the fourth quarter of 2013, and except for the wobble in January, continued to push strongly higher, again led by the S&P and the NASDAQ indices. So where's that leave us? Well, the short covering has reduced one source of demand. And I think also those people who felt they were underweight or underinvested in the stock market, and that they needed to get back on board here before the year end, and are hoping for a strong fourth quarter as we shake off the October setback. They have perhaps reduced cash positions somewhat. Well, I think it's still all to play for. It's still quite possible that we could see lower rally highs in here. I'd be very surprised to see higher highs by these indices, but you never know the way these things have been flying around. And a point that, I think that it gets harder from here after the gains that I just mentioned to you. So it'll be interesting to see what happens the rest of the week, but I would be surprised if the rally didn't lose momentum and at least go sideways, if not down. Now, I've been saying previously that we need to see new highs that were sustained to really reduce risk in this region, and probably then reduce volatility as well. If we get a instead, which I think is more likely, if we get a lower high and a pullback, a partial pullback, a higher low, in other words, a low that found support above the trough that we saw 4 days ago, that would be a positive development here potentially. But again, you weigh it all up here, and the U.S. stock market has seen a lot of churning at a high level, and it has pretty much obliterated many of the previous trend consistency characteristics. These are warning signs. So I think I'd be careful. I would definitely be careful in here. Now, we had a few people who were saying right at near the bottom that they were feeling that they shouldn't actually sell down there, and I agreed with them, fortunately. But if you're very nervous and some of the positions that you hold have bounced back very quickly, you know the time to lighten. If you're ever whenever you're going to lighten, lighten on strength if you possibly can. That's an obvious point to make. You don't want to be lightening positions when the market's slumping down very, very rapidly, as we saw last week. And what else to say on this in terms of actual psychological influences overall? And these certainly have an impact generally. I think that investors have pretty well concluded that the Fed is not going to be raising short-term interest rates anytime soon. My feeling is that the strength of this rally also makes it quite likely that the Fed will end that QE position later this month. And that may cause a wobble or two. But I think again, I think that's quite likely. Some of those black swan factors that I was mentioning, and those were in the Middle East, the ISIL situation, to the Russian situation, and also the Ebola. Well, the fact that Nigeria was declared Ebola free really means that and because we haven't had any new incidents to frighten people, that is a good indication that Ebola crisis, or at least the possibility of it spreading, I'll put it that way, the possibility of Ebola spreading has been reduced. So investors will certainly take that kindly because it was a very newsworthy item to put it mildly. Also, with the oil price so weak, Russia has plenty of problems. That'll be a shock for Putin, and he's showing a lower profile here in terms of the whole Ukraine situation. I don't think he's changed his mind in terms of what he wants to do, but perhaps he doesn't have the leeway. He doesn't feel that he has the leeway here at all to push ahead more aggressively, at least not at this time. So that will be regarded by investors. They'll take that short-term news as favorable. And then the ISIL situation, well, it's been a little less in the headlines here recently, so perhaps people take some consolation from that as well. I think what's also important is the fact that the European Central Bank is proceeding with quantitative easing, despite the concerns of Germany, or some Germans at any rate, German finance ministers. And that has helped Europe, which fell more sharply than the US, it's helped Europe to steady in here as well. So, again, going back to Wall Street, just to repeat the point, I would say I'd be careful in here. I don't think that we've got an all clear signal. We have certainly seen an impressive rally, but we had an even bigger sell-off to the downside, and we're still in a very volatile, churning market environment. In terms of my own positions, I haven't sold any of my long-term holdings. I'm glad about that. I was regretting not having put on a hedge short in one of the U.S. indices, but now I'm glad I didn't. Although one would have had an opportunity to get out, you had certainly had to move quickly, because it was a now you see it and now you don't type of gain. And it's going to be interesting. That's for sure. Well, what about other? Where did Wall Street close? Well, you probably already know, but solid gains. The Nasdaq did 100 did best. That was up 2.4%. The of these three main indices that I'm going to quote, the S&P 500 was up nearly 2%, 1941, and the Dow was up 1.3% at 16,614. Canada was strongly higher. Mexico up nearly 1%. Brazil down sharply, down 3.44%. That concerns me as an indication of where that election is going to go. I'd like to see a change of government there. European indices rallied quite sharply as well. Many gains over 2%. Best of all, Italy once again up 2.79%. excuse me. In Asia, disappointingly, Japan, which had rallied so much on so sharply on Monday, was down 2% in here today. So obviously no upside follow through. I apologize for saying I'm not sure what the news was that led to that to that setback. Hang Seng Index was slightly higher, but the Shanghai Composite down a little bit, 0.75 percentage point. Again, the rest of the Asia Pacific indices more up than down, but nothing significant in terms of percentage moves. But just very, very quickly, India. Well, India, which had such a good gain yesterday, it's up another half a percent here today. And let's see, we also had we had New Zealand higher, small declines in Indonesia, Thailand, and Malaysia. And government bonds, interestingly, they haven't moved up very much at all on this, but a little firmer here. The U.S. 10-year up to 2.22%. That's still extremely low, obviously. Now, the U.S. dollar index was certainly firmer in here today, and the DXY, that's its code here, is up to 85.366. Now, that knocked, that's against the European currencies, that knocked sterling down to 1.6119, knocked the euro back to 1.2716. The Chinese renminbi is still very strong. The Indian rupee very steady in its trading range. So we don't have too much volatility here overall. But The dollar that had lost some ground has picked up a little steam, but still within a ranging formation here overall. And my hunch is, as I've said before, is that I don't think that the Fed wants the dollar surging higher in here, and because that would certainly become a problem for U.S. exporters. Now, in the precious metal markets, despite the firmer dollar, we saw a bit of additional strength. Palladium up to 776. Silver currently up 15.5 cents. So I'm going to take the headset off here and just have a little cough. Oh, these human frailties. Silver up to 17.51. This is in after-hours trading. Had been up to 65, so 17.65. So this struggles to hold those gains, although it is at least maintaining sideways trading. But what still concerns me, and to repeat a point I've made in other broadcasts, is say that when precious metals really have floors in and confidence is growing in terms of the upside, then we will see silver outperforming gold because it's high beta gold. So in a rising market, it moves up more than gold, and in a falling market, it moves down more quickly. Silver is still lagging gold in here. Gold bullion itself slightly higher. It's currently after hours trading again at $1,249. It was up to 55 earlier in the day. And platinum, I missed platinum, 1,281. It's a good bounce by platinum here overall. And gold is up at a level where well, it's held those lows within the range, when a lot of people were aggressively talking it down, but it moved down just a fraction and has turned around, rallied back up. So a little bit of a downside failure there. That's usually a bullish signal within a sideways trading range, in terms of a rally back towards the upper side of the range. Industrial metals, well, copper is clearly stronger in here, and I think the others will have gained as well. Copper's up to $3.02, 0.60. And so that's good bounce in here today. grains and beans, excuse me. Grains and beans are also prices are also firmer. More harvest problems. Too wet weather. Possibly that may be the case overall. And I think those are very much the highlights. And we'll see if well, I'd be very surprised again, as I said before, if this Wall Street rally didn't spill over into sort of a reaction and pause phase. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.